Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
There was a new test that was approved by the FDA this past month, October 2025, and it's called p-tau 181. p-tau is an abbreviation for phosphorylated tau, and p-tau 181 is a blood test that can be used specifically for early detection, more in the primary care setting, because it has what's called a very high negative predictive value, meaning that if you do the test and it comes back negative, meaning there's no elevation of the p-tau 181 in the blood, if it comes back negative, then that comes back as greater than 97, if not 98% chance that you don't have Alzheimer's disease. So it's a very good screening test to be used. Say, if someone over the age of 55 comes into the primary care setting and they're complaining of, you know, some annoying memory problems or maybe misplaced objects or have trouble with names, trouble with recalling things, so a very good early screening test.
Can this only detect Alzheimer's, or can it detect like Lewy's body or other types of dementia?
Yeah, so basically when I talk to my patients and other colleagues, we like to refer to dementia as the umbrella term. And underneath that umbrella is a whole bunch of different types of what we call neurodegenerative diseases or dementias. By far the most common at any age is Alzheimer's disease. But then there's also dementias such as Lewy body disease, frontotemporal dementia, what's called vascular dementia, or now they call it vascular cognitive impairment, and many others like normal pressure hydrocephalus, Parkinson's related dementia. But like I said earlier, at any age, Alzheimer's is still the most common. These blood-based biomarkers are only useful in diagnosing the most common form of dementia called Alzheimer's disease.
How early, how many, let's say, months, years, decades can it do it before you actually start to see like really devastating symptoms of Alzheimer's set in?
Well, Alzheimer's disease is typically a disease that starts in the mid-60s, early 70s, when it's at the earliest onset of what we call late onset Alzheimer's disease. Many patients come in during their 70s or 80s as well and start to complain of cognitive problems or difficulty in doing tasks and things like that. The scary part of this statement is that we know that amyloid, which is one of the bad sticky proteins that gets sort of involved in our brain and causes what are called plaques, amyloid plaques. Many of your listeners have heard that term before, but plaques in the brain, when we talk about dementia, Alzheimer's in particular, are caused by amyloid. And we also know that amyloid deposition starts in the brain 10, 20, or even 30 years prior to the onset of clinical symptoms. So that's a really scary thought.
It is. And I know there is power in knowing things. I know there is power in simply like knowing that this is what you're facing. You have Alzheimer's disease and that sort of thing. But is there also, if we are to find it earlier, are there things we can do to slow the progression? Like, is there a benefit to knowing earlier, or is it just more bad news sooner?
We always want to know if someone has a diagnosis of Alzheimer's disease early in the disease. And that's because we have two drugs that are given through an IV that are FDA approved, and both of them essentially cause the clearance of amyloid from the brain. And we can slow progression of disease by 25 to 35 or even more, depending on the depending on the mildness of the disease, if you will. So we always want to get patients diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease as early as possible. The other thing to keep in mind when we talk about the treatment of Alzheimer's disease or really any neurodegenerative disease is we want to keep in mind certain lifestyle modifications. If we know there's a family history for Alzheimer's disease, if we know that we have one of the genetic abnormalities, what's called the apolipoprotein E, the APOE4 gene, if we know we have that, these are going to be sort of wake-up calls that we want to really focus on our lifestyle modification. And that could mean things like daily exercise, modifying your diet to maybe a more plant-based Mediterranean-type diet, practicing mindfulness, focusing on our sleep, making sure there's no hearing loss. So there's many things that we can be doing under the lifestyle umbrella, and all of these have data-driven evidence to show that we can delay onset of disease and slow progression of disease on top of our medications that we use.
I want to go back to this blood test for a moment, the one that was just approved. So Is it now available on the market, or is there a lot of clinical trials and things it needs to go to in order to get to like actually being available to patients?
So the p-tau 181 blood test is now available. It is FDA approved. Now, there's a little asterisk or caveat to that. Even though it's FDA approved, that doesn't mean that it is paid for by either commercial insurance or Medicare. So right now, these insurance companies, including Medicare, are not reimbursing the patient for this test. So it's important for the practitioner to not only educate the patient of what we're looking for in terms of this negative predictive value of the p-tau 181, but also that there's a cost to it.
Do you know approximately what that cost is?
The cost is somewhere in the range of hundreds. It's between $200 and $300.
Yeah, and that's pretty standard for a blood test that insurance does not pay for.
Yeah, it is. And I think that the patients that we see in our clinic, they are very highly motivated to care for their health. And I'm not minimizing the cost because healthcare is extremely expensive in all facets of care. But again, the individuals that really want to take control of their health, many of them we find are very willing to pay that extra fee to have that early detection.
Especially if there's a treatment that can slow the disease by what you said, 25 to 30%?
Yeah, or greater. Absolutely. And I want to also go back to that p-tau 181 test. Remember that if the test is abnormal, that's just a screen to tell us that we want to do a more sophisticated blood test with a much higher sensitivity and specificity, and that would be something like a p-tau 217 blood test as opposed to the p-tau 181, or do something like a lumbar puncture to measure amyloid beta in the spinal fluid, or do the gold standard, which is called an amyloid PET scan. So the p-tau 181, that secret sauce for that is if it's negative, that's really good indicator that there's no amyloid and no evidence for Alzheimer's disease. But if it's positive, it does not mean by any chance, it does not mean that you're going to have the disease. It just means that you need a further workup.
That's great information. So kind of going through like the motions here, the p-tau 181, that's the sort of thing you would talk to your primary care physician about. Am I correct in that?
Absolutely. That's a great first test for a primary care physician to order to sort of rule out the disease.
And then if, God forbid, that does come back positive, then you move on to maybe talking to more, like you go to a neurologist and start talking about doing the p-tau 217 and then the, you said the imaging tests for the amyloids in the brain?
Correct. So if the p-tau 181 is abnormal, that is a great opportunity to refer to a neurologist or a memory care specialist. And that is really what the Alzheimer's Association have recommended as well in their clinical practice guidelines. So that's sort of standard of care now, if you will, because that's been published as of this summertime from the Alzheimer conference that was held in Toronto. So that is a great algorithm in terms of caring for our patients with memory loss.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
And then going to more just kind of, I want to go into like the general signs and symptoms. So what are the early warning signs and symptoms? And then tell me, like, because we all have moments where, like, this morning I couldn't find my phone, or, you know, I forgot that I put my coffee in the microwave. Like, we all have those moments. So when do you delineate between, all right, this is just normal, you're kind of stressed and tired and maybe a little bit forgetful, and this is something that we really need to look at a life-changing diagnosis to explain?
Yeah, I agree with everything you just said. Those are really common complaints that patients come in all the time. I've misplaced an object. I went to the room. I can't remember what I went there for. I can't remember this person's name. Those are all important things. And what's really important about those, if that's a change from what you had before. If you've never been good with names, then if you're 75 years old, you're not going to suddenly get better with that. So we're really concerned about something called dyspraxia. And that's a fancy word for difficulty in doing a previously learned task. So it's really important for us to note, to ask the patient, are you having trouble doing something that you were once able good at? For example, driving. You know, are you having more trouble behind the wheel? Are you feeling like you're confused or not knowing where you're at? Do you have trouble navigating a GPS navigation device? Things like that. We also want to talk about other task-related things. Are you having trouble getting dressed? You know, there's a lot of steps involved in terms of brushing your teeth, getting washed up, getting in the shower, putting your clothes on, making sure that all of that is done to the highest degree that you've always done them. Having trouble in the kitchen, can you still follow a recipe the way you always have? Are you leaving the fridge open unattended? Are you leaving the stove or oven open unattended or left on? Are you leaving garage doors open? Things like that. So those are important questions that we have to ask our patients that are sort of like next level questions in terms of signs and symptoms associated with dementia.
You talk about a change, but is it normal that, you know, when you reach 60, 70, even 80, that there is a slight decline in those sort of things? Or is a normal healthy brain always able to do that? Like, how steep does the decline have to be? Or if it's any sort of decline, is that when we still have to look at a possibility of Alzheimer's or dementia?
It's very normal for individuals as they enter into their 70s and 80s to have some degree of slowing of cognition. And some examples would be, you know, I'm unable to do juggle many tasks that I once do. We call that multitasking. So when you're in your heyday at work, you could have five things going at once and make no mistakes. And then when you're in your 70s or 80s, maybe you're just focusing on one at a time. That is absolutely under the umbrella of normal aging. However, if that's causing a problem or interfering with your quality of life, or you're making errors with your banking, errors with your checking, or other sort of things that are new or different, those are little mini red flags, if you will, that would be an opportunity to dive a little deeper. And in the old days, so to speak, old days meaning literally yesterday, in the old days, we would simply tell the patient, oh, this is no big deal, age-related changes, come see me in a year. Well, now, time is brain, and if we can do a blood test, for example, in a patient who's 65 years old that's complaining of something like that, and we do a p-tau 181 and it's negative, well, that's wonderful peace of mind, and now that patient can simply focus on lifestyle modification to preserve their brain health, if you will. But if that p-tau 181 as a screen is abnormal, then they can be referred to neurology, for example, do either a more sensitive / specific blood-based test, blood-based biomarker, or most likely probably jump to something like an amyloid PET scan that can be a true confirmation test for the presence of amyloid in the brain. And as we talked about, amyloid in the brain is what's responsible for those amyloid plaques, which is one of the main pathologic features of Alzheimer's disease.
Can severe stress mimic symptoms of dementia? Can that make people forgetful? And
that's a really good question. So obviously, when patients come to see us for a memory workup, we don't just jump to all these tests immediately. We do a complete history and physical examination. We monitor the patients for any things like stress, anxiety, depression, because there is a phenomenon that's called pseudo-dementia or fake dementia, meaning that there's so much weighing on the patient from the neuropsychiatric umbrella, if you will, that it's sort of tugging at the brain and the brain isn't functioning in the same way. So there's no disease of the brain per se, i.e. amyloid or tau causing plaques or tangles in the brain, but there's still other stressors on the brain and that can yield some cognitive or memory problems for that patient. So we can do something like neuropsychometric testing sent to our local neuropsychologists and they can help to tease that out for us. And then we also do an array of blood tests. We want to make sure their thyroid is okay, their vitamin B12 is okay, they're not having cardiovascular problems or kidney problems or anything like that, because any general health problems can also contribute to memory loss. We may want to do something like an EEG or stick little electrodes on the scalp and make sure that there's no abnormal electrical activity of the brain. So there's a lot of workup outside of these blood tests, PET scans, things like that, that we want to make sure. And of course, almost every patient that comes into the office for memory problems is going to get some sort of anatomic structural imaging procedure of the brain, whether that be a CAT scan of the brain or more commonly an MRI scan of the brain.
If that stressor is removed, the patient goes back to normal, or can long-term stress cause Alzheimer's or dementia?
You know, that's a great question. I don't think we know completely if there's causation for that, but it's certainly one of the red flags that we want to try and improve under the lifestyle modification umbrella in terms of trying to mitigate or minimize those stressors. So these are something that can contribute to more progression of disease if someone has Alzheimer's, but to make that jump to say it's causation, I don't think we can say that.
Are there any other factors, genetic, dietary, lifestyle, that make it more likely for a person to have Alzheimer's later in their life?
Yeah, so the genetic is a big deal, and we have a lot of patients that come in asking for the genetic test for Alzheimer's disease. And when we're talking about late onset Alzheimer's disease, what we're referring to is the APOE. APOE is a gene that encodes for a protein called apolipoprotein E. Now, there's three different forms of APOE. They're not variants because they're all naturally occurring throughout all of us. And like any gene, we get one from our mom and one from our dad. And there's APOE2, APOE3, and APOE4. So we have six different possible combinations of genes when you talk about getting one from your mom and one from your dad. Let's break that down for just a minute. So APOE3 is by far the most common form of APOE, apolipoprotein E, and that is basically a neutral risk for the development of Alzheimer's disease. If you have APOE2, that's actually protective against the development of Alzheimer's disease, but unfortunately, it's also the least common form of ApoE. There's also what's called ApoE4, that you've probably heard of, and that's quote-unquote the bad one. If you have one copy of ApoE4, and many patients have 3-4, ApoE3/4, so they get a 3 and a 4 combination, they're at about a 3-time increased risk for the development of Alzheimer's disease compared to the general population. Now, here's the bad one. If you have two copies of ApoE4, meaning you're homozygous or ApoE4/4, you have anywhere between what you read a 10, 20, or even 30-time increased risk for the development of Alzheimer's disease compared to the general population. Now, that's bad news, but there's still good news in that. And what I mean is the ApoE gene is not what's called deterministic, meaning that if you have the ApoE4 allele, you are not guaranteed to get the disease. You are merely at an increased risk, whether you have one or two copies of the ApoE4. So that's where the lifestyle modification really comes into play. So if a patient knows they have a family history and they wind up checking their ApoE and they have one or even two copies, it's really important for their doctor to counsel them on lifestyle modification. And that would be probably the single best thing we can be doing is exercising. And we're talking about real exercising where you're exercising, so when you're moving, you're really short of breath and you're having trouble talking. So that's a good indicator for what we call zone 2 exercise. So your heart rate is kind of pumping and you're doing some physical exercise, cardio, if you will. And there's also weight and resistance training that's equally as important as well. So exercise by far is the single greatest lifestyle pillar that we can be doing to slow the onset of disease and slow progression of disease. And then there's also diet modification. Eating more of a plant-based diet, lots of grains, lots of beans, get our protein from that source as opposed to meat-based protein. If there's going to be non-plant-based foods, more fish that are high in omega-3s, for example. So a diet rich in plant-based diet with fish, getting rid of any sugary drinks, really being cautious about limiting or excluding alcohol from your diet, getting rid of any substances like tobacco or certainly any illicit substances. And then, of course, practicing things like mindfulness, whether that be deep breathing, meditation, sort of disappearing from the world for a little bit and getting rid of some of that stress. We also want to counsel our patients to make sure that their sleep is adequate, that they don't have what's called obstructive sleep apnea, because that's a big deal nowadays, and we lean on our sleep medicine colleagues and help us with that. And then we also want to make sure that there's no hearing loss. There's been a lot of data recently about hearing loss and that being an early predictor for the development of Alzheimer's disease.
I am seeing kind of more and more, I don't know if they're official studies or just rumblings, that using medicines like Benadryl, certain antihistamines, that kind of thing, increases the risk of dementia. Do you agree with that, or what's your thoughts on that?
Right. So medicines such as Benadryl, which are really commonly used in individuals to help them sleep. In fact, interesting, like things like Tylenol PM, for example, well, it's acetaminophen, which we probably don't need extra of that if you're not having any pain, but the PM portion of that is usually an antihistamine, including Benadryl. So any of these PM medicines that you may see on the counter at your local pharmacy have Benadryl in them. The problem with these medicines is that they are what are called anticholinergic, anti meaning against. So they block a chemical in the brain called acetylcholine. And acetylcholine is one of the good, healthy neurotransmitters that help our brain cells or our neurons function normally. So it's a big stretch to say that they cause Alzheimer's disease, but certainly in a patient with dementia, any sort, or just normal aging, it can absolutely slow cognition. And we want to be really cautious about using that class of medications, anything that can block acetylcholine or so-called anticholinergic medications.
So if I pop one once every other week or so because my allergies are killing me, probably not doing myself a ton of damage?
Correct. I mean, and again, most likely we're not taking Benadryl. You're probably taking like one of the newer ones like cetirizine or one of those that are less anticholinergic, if you will.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.